The big message, God met each individual where they were. It was a different way where they were, you know. And so the message to us sometimes when we share the word, we need to say, wait a minute, what's God doing? I won't step in with what God's doing, you know. So you need to pay attention. And because anything that powerful happens, the Lord does it. Amen. Now, I'm going to give a two-minute, okay? I'm going to keep honest like those guys almost kept honest with the 2 minutes. But just to tag on, because mine's different, and it had a huge impact on me. But non-Christian home, didn't come to know the Lord till I was 25, you know. And when I mean non-Christian, it wasn't mentioned. So I had no idea. I didn't know. You're going, I didn't know why you celebrate Easter. I'm 25 years old. I didn't, you know, and that's dumb luck. You know, look at Jesus. He get, you know. And so so what happened? Devastating situation. I said, God, this is not fair. You have to help me. Within 2 days, everything changed. And I couldn't figure out how it changed. And I said, well, what happened? I asked God, help me. And so he helped me. Well, if God could help you, I want to find out who God is. So I went to the library. I was looking under G for God. I don't know. I got a book in it, and I got this book. It's an archaeological history of the Jewish and Christian faith. I said, well, that sounds good. Okay, I pulled that out. So I read it, and it was a good book because it always referenced the Bible. And I said, well, that's good. I guess if I want to know God, I have to get a Bible. So I asked Linda, I came home, I said, you have a Bible? She said, yeah, I got one. She drew one of these little award Bibles that they give in churches. You'll no notes or anything, read it, still have it. And so I said, I read it. Well, it just read a book. And so God, the library book convinced me that God was in the Bible. So I've read, and I wouldn't skip anything because, well, if it's in the Bible, if I skip the page, I might skip it, you know. So I read every page. Can you imagine? Unbeliever, never been to church, reading through Genesis, reading through Leviticus. And I did. I was read through it. So I got through all the Old Testament. I found all sorts of folks in there I never even heard of before. I thought, wow. And then I read the Gospels, and it's like, well, it's all about Jesus. You know, he had this thing going on. You know, Jesus did. Then I read the book of Acts. Then I read the book of Romans. And read the book of Romans, I came to Romans 3:25. It says this, for God gave Jesus as an expiation. You know, and all my friends never used that word. I never heard that word. And if you lose expiation, it means like propitiation. And my friends never use that word. And you could use them both together and call it atonement. And I thought, they don't want you to know what this word is. You know? And so when I read it, and then I got a Webster's Dictionary, which I still have, so I look at it, are really neat words. Expiation, propitiation. But what it says, the propitiation, paid the penalty and turn away the wrath of God. So I put the definition in the Bible. You know, I said, God gave Jesus as a propitiation. God gave Jesus to turn away the wrath of God and pay the penalty. And I thought, well, that's kind of like he was a substitute for me. And I went, I'm forgiven. Never been to church. I'm forgiven. So I read the rest of it. And I went to just add on to it. I was in a Safeway grocery store and was checking out. And they had all these books, and I flipped around, and they had, and it said Amplified Bible. I said, I wonder what this one sounds like. So I bought one, paperback, Amplified Bible. It's pretty good. So I read that. I read the Bible twice, and still hadn't gone to church. Now, here's the point I want to make you read. And I told Lynn, I said, you know, it was Easter. It was Easter. I figured I knew what Easter meant now. And I said, you know, we ought to go to church. She said, fine. She's been to a bunch of churches. So we went to church. And so I went to church. Nice people, you know, and this what happened. And now we're in Los Angeles. I went in, and I'm going to condense this. I'm going to go. But I sat there, and I listened to him, and it was like, and I thought this. And I said, this I can't be right. I said, I think I know more than this guy. I really did. I said, I really do. I said, well, that ain't right. So we went to another church. Then he just came right out and said it. He said, I don't believe the Bible. It's just something like almost what Katie said. You know, it's just got some neat stories. And I thought, and so I made a determination. I said, all right, what I do know, I'm saved and God's not in the church. And well, I just assume you go to church, why? God's not there. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Now, granted, things change in the past. But what the point? What's the point? Everybody here said the same thing. The Word of God is living and active. It's living. It's not. It's living and active. And it's when you meet with Jesus, Jesus changes because the Word is living and active. Amen? So here we are, ready to start the message. And with that, let me pray, and then we'll release the kids. All right, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love and your goodness. I just thank you for Woods and Katie, Carlos and Ray, just sharing the testimony of how you reached down and touched them. I praise you for them. I praise you that they could share with us. And so I give thanks. And so, Lord, we know that you touch each of us, and we give thanks to you. I pray a blessing on this message in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen? Okay, the children could go back to their classes. We'll come up. You see the overhead here, living and active. Here is the message. As they're going back. And this is what kicked this whole thing off. You know, we're going to look this morning at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Now, again, I always have to bring up, we're reading through Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It's connected, okay, to the previous three chapters. Okay, so we need to, you know, there's a context here. But just listen what Hebrews says. He's making a point here, and he's bringing everything together. And he says this, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It permeates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now, when I first read the Bible, that meant a lot to me. I would look at that and say, oh my God, this is alive. This whole thing is alive. And so I was more driven to look into it. Is each person that just gave their testimony, each person was driven to look deeper into it. See, deeper into it. Everybody, that's the similarities here. And so you look at this word, it says the Word of God is alive. It's living and active. It's not Reader's Digest, you know. It's not, no, this is alive and active. So there's something going on here, and we need to look at that. I always love what says in 2 Timothy 3:16, when it says God's Word is the Word is God-breathed. And I used to think, I open up the Bible and say, well, he just breathed on me. He's just breathing on me when I read it. He's just breathing on me. It's God-breathed. And it ties into it being alive and active. And when it's alive and active and it's breathing on you, you read it, it penetrates. It penetrates. It's not just, you know, in your head. It penetrates and it cleanses. It cleanses. See? Again, I generally knew what the folks' testimonies were in general, but what they heard, you listen to what they said. Bottom line, all of them said this same thing in their own way. It penetrated and it cleansed. Just the Word. Just the Word penetrated and cleansed. So here we are in Hebrews, and we're coming through on this, and he's told us this information. And so we see here that we, in our Christian walk, we must continue our journey with Jesus by the breathed out Word of God, letting his Word permeate every part of our experience. That's what the Word permeates. You know, it's not on the shelf and I'll get to know it. You read it, it permeates every part of our experience. And the Word, and focus on this, the Word is living. It's alive. You read it, it's alive. It's jumping out and grabbing you. The word pulsating like a heart. The word is living. And it's the word is reflecting the true character of God, the source of all life. The source of all life. This living quality keeps the word from ever becoming a dead code of dead letters on a dead page. See, that's what the Apostle Paul said the law was. Dead letters on a dead page. You have the power of God. It's alive. You read it through Christ. It's alive. You read it with the experience of Christ. It's alive. It's not just letters on a page. Not just letters on a page. I didn't quote it here, but in Hebrews 3:7, and this had a huge impact on me years ago, and it says this. In Hebrews chapter 8, it says, the Holy Spirit says, and then you know what it does? It quotes Psalms 95. What does that tell you? The Holy Spirit wrote Psalms 95. Then if I have the Holy Spirit in me, and then I read what he wrote, then I have the power of him and the understanding of him. It's alive. The Holy Spirit said it. The Holy Spirit in me interprets it. Amen? It's not a book on the shelf. It's alive. It's not dead letters on a page. On a page. See, the Holy Spirit said. That means the whole Old Testament is. It's what the Holy Spirit said. And we have the Holy Spirit in us to interpret that. So, this is another reason why, and I know you've all gone through this, you read the Bible and it'll tell you something new. You read it and there's something new. Have you ever, have you ever read it and you go, I never saw this before. I never saw this before. You have, I read it, but I never saw this before. Well, why you never saw it before? Because it's living. It's alive. And being alive, it touched your living situation. Your situation touched, well, I can touch that too, because it's alive. See, it's the word. That's the dynamic of the word. And so the second characteristic here is the word of God is active. It is active, revealing, this reveals that the living word explodes into divine activity. It just explodes into divine activity. So, it's active. You know, it's doing something. And it challenges every aspect of our life and pursues us and cries out to us to make a personal decision. All four people said that when they came up here. All four of them said that same thing. It just came from a different place. They didn't have any choice. They didn't have any choice. It was the Word. The word exploding, pursuing them, crying out, make a personal decision. Make a personal decision. I'm going to use Ray because Ray's told me, he made me laugh. I'm not big on doing messages on giving. It's because I have a bad history about giving, you know. I mean, I was broke. I didn't have any money, and they want me to give you some of it. And I said, listen, I can't. I'm just trying to make it. I don't hardly preach on it. And Ray said that the Lord spoke to him, and sometimes he says, you need to give this much money, you need to tithe. I'm going to praise you. I never told Ray. I never told him. I kind of praised Jesus. He told him. But I never told him. You see what I'm saying? What's the better deal? Me to browbeat Ray to give, or the Lord to speak to Ray and tell him to give. Now, and Ray is a joyful giver because God told him. Isn't that neat? You know, I mean, hallelujah. So anyway, you see this picture. Now, as we see this, Jesus, you come to the New Testament, Jesus clearly understood the life-giving and power and activity of the Word of God. So you got Jesus. He understands the power of the Word of God. He knows it fully. And what we see here, he's communicating that to us. And where we see, and one place where we see this is in like in Matthew 4:4, Jesus is tempted by Satan to turn these stones into bread. He's turned these stones into bread. And how Jesus answers him, Jesus answers him by quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. I mean, Jesus could have said anything. You know, like, I dropped dead, Satan. What are you talking about? You're talking to the man here. That's not what he did. Satan, turn these stones into bread. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8:3. There's a lesson there. There's a lesson there. He quoted Deuteronomy 8:3, which says, man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Satan, that's how you live, by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, let's read the entire verse, Deuteronomy 8:3. Unbelievable lesson here. Read the entire verse, Deuteronomy 8:3, Old Testament. And God humbled you and let you hunger. Stop. I pause there. Why is this happening to me? God humbled you and let you hunger. He let them hunger. God humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that God might make you know. That God might make you know. How many of you came to know Jesus and knew everything? I know exactly how God should work in my life. And he should obey me. You know. Now, that's kind of your name it and claim it, people. You know? It's God goes, don't, that's not how it works. So I need to make you know that you live by every word that comes out of my mouth. That God might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, Jesus knew where his sustenance came. He knew. All right, so he just quoted it back to Satan. Now, so when we see this, we need to understand in Deuteronomy, these people were in the wilderness in order for God to teach them to live by the word of God. Why were they in the wilderness? To teach them so that they would know that you live by the word of God. I'm going to teach you that. That's why they're in the wilderness. Now, just talk to myself. God, why am I in the wilderness? To teach you to live by the word of God. I know, so take me out of the wilderness. You know? He said, no, you're not there. You're not there. In order for us not to live in the wilderness, we need to learn to trust in the word of God. Trust it and believe it. Now, okay, I got this. But what we see that Jesus goes, no, you don't have this. We must consume the word of God. Now, we just passed the Reader Digest set of book. We're to consume the word of God. We're to consume it. Why? Because it's living and active. You need to consume it. And see, the Bible tells us this. Jeremiah understood this. Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah said, your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. I ate them. Now, I am so glad we had these testimonies. You can refer back to them. Each person here, in their testimony in the Word, what they did, and we'll use the metaphor here, ate, there was a point in their life where they consumed and took the Word. They consumed it and pulled it, you know, it was a part of them and their sustenance. All four. Now, in a different way, But that's what happened. And it's like, well, no, I need this. And as we grow in it, no, I need this because I see an impact on this. I see there's a power in this. And God, see, yeah, but that's what he's teaching us. But personally, all four people are taught in a different way because they're at different places and they have to understand in a different way. So God teaches them where they are at. Same lesson, but he teaches us different. When we rest in God's words, they are a joy to us. Oh my God, I got to read the Bible again. I got to memorize these verses. I got to do this. No, it should be, oh man, I can't wait to read. I just want to know. I just want to read. I'm just thirsty. I want to know. See, there's a change when you realize what you have. A change when you realize what the Lord has given us here. We trust in God's word because by his word, he brought creation into existence. And his word can never be rendered ineffective. Now see, this so comes back. What the world is doing, what pseudoscience is doing. You know, it's like when we believe Jesus created by speaking word, and just he said, God said. God said. Then God saw. Then God said, that's good. God said, then he saw. See? And the whole thing, it's like, oh my gosh. He did that. If he did that, his word, anytime he says anything, can never be rendered ineffective. Why do you believe it? He said it. He said, it can't be rendered. How do you know? Because he spoke the word and made all creation. He handled my issue. See, this is what, and so this is what, and again, I make it known, this is what God's telling the Hebrews, you know, the Hebrew people, they knew this Old Testament. When he said, see, this is what Jesus is. He said it happens. He said it happens. And his word will never be ineffective. So what we have in our hand is a word that never can be ineffective. My goodness, we better look at it. We ought to look at it because we know this is what he does. This is what he does. See, and so we have a passion to look. So that has to be our belief. Our belief. And we grow in this, and we grow in this. But there's power in the Word. Well, there's songs about it. There's power in the Word, and kids say there's power in the Word. But there is power in the Word. It's living, and there is power in the Word. Look at Isaiah 55:11. 55:11. So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. All he's got to do is say it. I mean, that's all. Oh, God, I wish you'd bring a black cloud and I wish you'd. No, this is saying. He just says it. So he got to say it. You know? And it's like, and what does he say? He says, just trust me. I got this. What's our favorite word? But God. No, I got this. I got this. And so, you know, again, when you look at the word and you read scripture and the Lord, you know, touches that on your heart, you know, then you speak that word. I believe in that word. It's just the same way as God speaking it. Now, again, I'm making a point just because there's some, anyway, people mess everything, I'm including me, but you name it and claim it, folks. You know, well, we can just name it. No, you got to hear God. He's on your heart, and then you can speak and operate in that word. You see what I'm saying? God says, tithe, Ray, and I'm going to preach, and get up, you need to tithe, tithe. You know, and then he's, God, I got to go back there. Wallace is preaching tithe and all my gosh, you know, he doesn't know what I'm going through. But then what happens is God speaks to Ray. Hey, Ray, you need to tithe. All right. Then he tithes, and then all the power of that tithe and that blessing that's multiplied 100-fold comes on Ray. Because who told him? Me? Me? No, because God told him. See, God brought him to that point in his life. At that time, sister, I don't know the whole thing, but he shared that testimony with me before. In fact, he even told me, he says, you want a message on giving? I will do it. But you see what I'm saying? What's happening here? You know, it's like when God shows you and tells you something, you're there. You know, the four people that share, hey, we're all going through stuff, and we're people, and then we have our ups and downs. But those four people share, it's like, no, that God's real. His word's real, and I can't leave. I can't fall away. I can't hold on, because it's real. Why is it real? Because he spoke to me. He spoke to me. Katie goes, he said my name. Katie goes, he said my name. I didn't know anything, but he said my name, you know. And you can't ever back out of that. No, he said my name, see. And now we continue in the Word of God and seeing as he tells us stuff and he speaks and transforms us, you know. But then he will speak to us. His Word will not come back void. Now, when our hearts are set upon him, God living and actively, he continues to speak. Now, I'm glad, which one shared is Ray, I guess. Well, whoever shared, I think. But see, salvation is huge. Maybe it's Woods. It doesn't make any difference. Salvation is important, but there's stuff that happens after salvation. I mean, stuff, it should keep, you know, you should just keep having testimonies from now on, you know? And that's what happens. And here's this verse. See, his word is alive and active, and he continues to speak. Look at Isaiah 30:21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. How many of you ever been in the situation? It's like you walk in and you go, it's not good. This is just not good. Something's wrong. You know, everybody, I don't know. It's just not good. And so I just have to not go there. What is that? That's God speaking to you. The Holy Spirit speaking to you. How many times you go into something, you know, I just feel such a peace. You know, just walk in. Just such a peace right here. God's going, it's okay here. It's okay here. Now, these are people who are in the Word. These are people who are listening to God. These are people who want to follow him. That there is a sensitivity built up that they can have a perception. And we grow in this. You know, we grow in this. Oh, my gosh. We grow in this. You know, but when we see it, it's like, we're in the Word and listening and seeing God work. And we see him work in our lives in so many different ways. Now, you have this, when we look at the verses here, when it talks about the word here, it says the emphasis of the penetrating character of the word is expressed by it sharper than any double-edged sword. He said, I want to give you a physical experience. The word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. It just pierces in. It can divide everything up, you know. It's like a piercing double-edged sword. Piercing to the division. So we have a picture of this sword piercing to the division, dividing the soul and the spirit. Well, that's cool. Piercing to dividing of the soul and the spirit. Now, I think our soul, when you read through, is our mind, will, and emotions. That's what makes us function. We all have a soul. It's our mind, will, and emotions, all right? And regardless of our spiritual experience, everybody's got a mind, will, and emotion. So regardless of our experiential experience, we have a soul. And the other, our spirit is that portion of our inner being that relates to God. I believe we come into this world, there's a portion of the human spirit that this thing that God communicates through, that permeates, he uses an avenue to permeate through the whole thing. But it's the spirit, human spirit that we have within us, there's a capacity to receive God, and God speaks to that inner spirit. Well, the word of God penetrates. He'll separate the soul, the spirit. This is what you're feeling. This is what you're doing. His spirit, here's what I want to speak directly to. This is wrong. This is right. You know. So he's working all that out somehow. And we're going, I don't know if I get that. I know you don't. But the word will penetrate and separate and take care of you in both areas. That's what he's saying, the big thing. Now, so we see this. We say, gracious, the living, and if we see that depth of penetration of the word, we also see that the living and active word thus judges our thoughts and intentions of our heart. Oh boy. Nothing, not even our innermost thoughts, are shielded from God. Listen to this. It's not so much what you're doing, it's what you're thinking. It's not so much what you're doing, it's what you're thinking. Oh, man, you can't even fake that. You can't even fake that. See, that's what Jesus called out the Pharisees. Hypocrites. No. It's what you're thinking. It's who you are. It's your perception of everything. You know, it is he is working with what we're thinking. You know, when you see all sorts of things, a psychologist, human psychologist and everything, and how a person's demeanor, well-being and stuff comes out of what they're thinking. Physical illnesses can come out of what we're thinking. You know, so even the secular world knows the power of what we're thinking, you know. And they're going, well, we'll get together and work on what you're thinking. Well, God's saying the same thing, but he's saying, but it's the Word of God. The Word of God is the one that's going to come in and tell you, you know, this is what you want to be doing. This is what you shouldn't be doing. It's the Word of God. And so as we come to the Word of God, he's penetrating through the very thoughts we have. The very thoughts we have. Oh, my. Oh, my. Now, I'm going to change gears just a little bit here, but I'm not changing gears, really. The Lord saw is a natural outflow of 12. He comes into verse 13 here. Here's the truth of this, too. We have all this understanding here. We all will have a come to Jesus moment with the living, active Word of God. What I'm saying, we don't get away with nothing, you know. And again, so, well, I'm looking at what these folks are doing, and I'm not doing this. Okay, that's good. But just know that the Lord's meeting you where you think. He's meeting where you think, because that's the outflow of what you do. And you're kind of going to have to come to meet with Jesus sometime about what you're thinking. Listen to verse Hebrews 4:13. Now, he's talking about the Word of God's living and active. He says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of God, to whom we must give an account. Well, now we're saying, okay, I don't steal, cuss, and run around with women who do. You didn't laugh at that. So I'm good before God, right? Well, if you want to work on it on that superficial level, which tells me that the second level stinks. What you're thinking level stinks. You think you're better than everybody else. You think you got this together. You know, you whatever it is. What is Hebrews telling us when we say enter the Sabbath rest of God? What is he? That's all connection. Enter the Sabbath rest of God. So when he comes to give account, oh, by the way, if you do all this bad, he'll deal with that. But I'm telling you, he's going way deeper than that. He's going way deeper than that. See, we give an account for, right, you hear it in context, we give an account for, number one, do you rest in God? Do you rest? That's what he talked about. You need to give account. Yes, I'm resting in God. No, and you're not even coming close. Listen, do you rest in God? Do you trust me? Are you walking with me? Are your eyes focused on me? And you're going to be a come to meeting. And that word, give an account, is really funny. Some of the translations says you're going to have a conversation. I thought, well, that's interesting. And we're going to have a come to conversation time with Jesus. Hey, are you resting in me? No. Why not? Look, why aren't you resting with me? You have to give an account. And you give account. Do we trust Jesus? Do we trust Jesus? Do you trust me in all this? On everything but, no, do you, have you given me all your buts? Okay, but, okay. Rest in Jesus, give an account. Do we trust in Jesus? Do we do what Jesus tells us? Do we do what Jesus tells us? Now, I'm going to make it, now, and by this is internal to each one of us. Okay, it's not. I'm going to use Ray again because he made such a good example. And it's like, you do what Jesus tells you. And he said that, you know, he talked about the tithing, you know, and if I gave a message, Ray, tithe, you know, all of this. Oh, no, you know, why should I give my money to you? I know this is what the Bible says, but it's like that, you know. See, that's me. Okay. Now, that's not the same thing as when Jesus tells it. You see? It's not the same. And Ray knows it's not the same. See? And so it's like, I got the best message in the world on tithing. Ray's going, nah. But what happens when Jesus speaks a word, Ray, I think you need to tithe. Next Sunday, there she is. Well, that's what it means here. That's what it means here. You know, we do what Jesus tells us to do. See, what is he telling you to do? Now, we read the scriptures, and we see all this stuff. We're kind of overwhelmed. But we'll read the things, and God will burn something on our heart and burn, like, this is you. This is you. Has that happened? And then, okay, you're responsible for that. Now, I want you to work. You need to work on all this other stuff. You know, in the Old Testament law, there's 650 laws. You know, you need to do them. How many in here could name them? How am I going to do them? I don't even know what they are. You know? You see what I'm saying? So, Jesus is showing something that's totally different here. Totally different. So, but one day, on what he's showing us about the rest, we know we should rest in him. We know we should trust him. And we do what Jesus tells us. You know, if we don't do that, at the end, we're all going to have a little talk with Jesus. All of us are going to have a little talk with Jesus. We are. You know, he's listening. Listen, we need to talk this out. I'm being kind of. Now, we can be secure. We can still be really insecure in Jesus, no matter what. We can be, even if we're not messing, even if Ray said, I know you said to give, but not doing it. You just don't understand my situation. And I get around to it. I'll do it later. You know? Now, he just didn't do it. All right? But we shouldn't, even in that case, we shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't have this fear of God because we've been disobedient or we might have missed something. Oh my gosh, you know. You know, we walk and we grow in it and we repent, okay? But there will come a meeting with Jesus. And here's what happens. We don't have to be afraid, but here's what happens. Okay? We're done. We have this little meeting with Jesus. And in first, love this verse. 1 Corinthians 3:15. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only through the fire. I've shared this before, and I won't give you the whole visual. Jesus, I love you, and I'm forgiven, and I'm just walking with you, and just, you know, I'm good, just kind of treading water with you. You know, it's like that. And so, me and the Apostle Paul coming into heaven, and the Apostle Paul has a multitude of treasures because of his walk. Amen. And he comes in with his treasure. It talks about it. You get treasures in heaven. Based on our activity here, you get treasures in heaven. And also, based on here, if you just got a bunch of junk going on, he goes, it just burns up. Apostle Paul goes with all his treasures. And I come in a pair of shorts and a toothbrush. That's it. I ain't got nothing. You know, but I'm happy to be here, and I'm loved, and I'm forgiven. You know, but he just, in his talk with me, like the Apostle Paul, well done, good and faithful servant. Wallace, goodness gracious, you know, I'm glad you're here. And, you know, I was stretching it, you know, to give you that toothbrush. But I'm glad you're here. But for eternity, you're not going to have all these treasures, but you're going to like the place. The place is good. It's a really good place to be, but you're not going to have any treasures at all. See, that's how it works. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. But what happens on the, but what happens on this earth, we take with us. That's not true. What happens, the good we do, we take with us. The bad we do just burns up off of us and we enter in. See, that's what that verse says. And that's what Hebrews 4:13 is saying. You're going to have to give an account, okay? You get things like arrest. Okay, here we go. Fix our eyes upon Jesus. To God alone we trust and rest are secure. All right? Amen. You get into the Word, and it demands a decision. It demands a decision when you get into it. But we need to be secure. Okay? And I want you to look at this overhead and just be secure. I love this overhead, and I'll read the verse to it. But you got the overhead, put it up for. I love that. You've got Jesus, and we know he died for our sins. We know Jesus became sin. But you know what else happened on the cross? The law was nailed to it. The do good stuff was nailed to the cross because we're not going to get all of it. James says, you miss one, you're guilty of the whole thing. That's what it said. One, guilty of the whole thing. See? So it's all nailed to the cross. All that happened at once. So listen to this. This is so good. God, this is Colossians 2:14. God forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. God has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Nailing it. That's the reason. Rich is going to go in with all his treasures. I'm going to come back by him. Just with my toothbrush. Because all that stuff was nailed to the cross. You know, so I'm good. I'm good. See, there's no bad coming. It's nailed to the cross. And you just look at Jesus. That's why he died. So I can come before him with just my toothbrush. See? Hallelujah. But he also knows some stuff about Rich, too. You know, there's a few things burn up. He ain't that perfect. Okay, but anyway, you get it. But do you see what's happening, what God has planned for us? So, when Jesus was nailed to the cross, the law was nailed to the cross, and nothing separates us from Jesus. Romans 8, that whole thing, it said, nothing separates you from the love of Jesus. Nothing separates you from love, ever, ever, ever. Okay? Now, He wants us to hear him. His word is living and active. And he wants us to pay attention to it. And it demands a decision on our part. It demands. All God's people said. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your love. And I thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I just thank you. I'm going to just thank you so much for Woods and Katie and Carlos and Ray, and just being able to share with no notice whatsoever, to share, you know, how you touched their lives, and that truly that how you moved with them in their unique situation for your purposes. And we take that on, and we pray their blessing on them, and we're encouraged by witnessing what God has done in their lives, and so we just praise you for that. So God, we thank you for your love, and I pray, Jesus, that you would meet with us, and I do pray that we just open up the word and see the breath of God to flow over us. Just the breath of God to flow over us as we open your word and look into it about what you have to say. So we give honor to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Pray. Give everybody the clap for the testimonies. We should. I just want to appreciate that. All right. There's some refreshments back there. No music, but the people with refreshments came back. Got refreshments. Thank you.